Welcome back, listeners, to your AfterBuzz TV after show for Game of Thrones Season 6, Episode 10, the finale, The Winds of Winter. We got a whole lot to talk about, so stay with us.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Woo!
Oh
man!
Yeah!
Guys, we are so happy. The finale, it has come, it is gone, it is here. We got so much to talk about. Yes.
Okay.
Guys, my name is Kyle Maddock. I'll be your host tonight. To my left over here, I have the lovely Kristen Snyder.
Hey, guys. Happy to be here.
I have Sarah Strahan.
So happy to be here. I'm a little nervous about doing this show.
Go. Who's showing her Targaryen pride today with this lovely dress?
Woo! Yeah.
Woo! Fire and blood.
Second winning team.
I have a Stark loyalist, Ryan Malady.
Always. The North remembers. Valar Morghulis. It's Ryan Malady here. I love this show.
And don't forget, over here on the couch, we have the one, the only, Dave Child.
Hello. I'm going to be chatting with you on YouTube.com/AfterBuzzTV. So please go there and talk to me about what you thought about this crazy, crazy episode. So many things happened. So I got to hear what you think about it.
So many thoughts.
Definitely join in on the conversation. We've got a lot to talk about. There's going to be lots of stuff. And I am a House Manning Woody loyalist.
Man Woody. I still don't believe you. That's a real house.
It was mentioned, I believe, in the opening episode of Season 3 when the Dornish arrived at King's Landing. Podrick says, the skull with the crown, House Manwoody.
House Manwoody. It's like Boom. House Lady
And Kyle was like, that's my house.
That's my house.
That's my house.
The podcast of Ice and Fire, this is our house right here. We have taken it as our own.
House Manwoody.
But ladies and gentlemen, let's get into the episode. Enough Manwoody talk. The bells are a-tolling in King's Landing.
Wow.
It is time for a trial. First, we have Loras. Loras is up first. We got one trial here.
Yeah,
we may not get to the second one, but we got the first one here.
Right.
Loras is up, and there is really no trial here. He confesses to everything. He has given up. He has surrendered, and he gets a new tattoo.
It's more of a new age branding. Yeah. I think
it's sort of temporary though.
Well, he has it for the rest of his life. He definitely has it on for the rest of his life.
He does.
And I kept thinking, like, oh man, they didn't heat up the knife. He could have, you know, it's going to get infected. It's going to cause problems.
You
know what's good for fighting off infection is fire, though. I heard.
It helps.
That really burns it out.
He's not getting infected anytime soon. I did not see any of that coming at all.
So, Kristen, you liked how this episode started with the music. I loved the different vibe going on.
I'm
going
to go to sleep
to
that from now on. We tried to Shazam it. I loved it.
We tried to Shazam it.
It really put me in the mood. I loved the way that Cersei looked. I love her armor. I mean, that's going to be my Halloween costume.
I like how you call it armor. It was like a dress with some awesome shoulder pads, right?
She's always had the kind of metal touches, but this was really giving up the gold and going for the black and the silver.
Yeah.
It's just intense.
Yeah. It reminded me a little bit of like when Sansa came down the stairs at the end of that season.
Yes, in the veil. Yeah. Completely.
Mm-hmm. Every lady needs a black dress, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt like she went just full like Disney villain. This episode, which is kind of
unfortunate.
While like the children's voices sang in the background.
Speaking of children, oh my gosh,
that's so not unlike her though to make use of children.
Yeah, we have the little birds. Used to be Varys' little birds, now they're Qyburn's little birds. But they take out Pycelle.
Yeah, like right out of an Alfred Hitchcock film. It just went straight for it.
Man,
I like how they like tried to make us remember that we don't really like Pycelle before.
Exactly.
They were like, oh, remember, we're going to show you that he's kind of a dirtbag in the bedroom to his, you know, paid ladies.
Yeah.
Like, just remember this aspect of him because we're about to kill him with children. So. Yeah. Don't feel too bad.
Yeah, don't fault the kids. Don't fault the kids. This man had it coming, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah. And I thought that was going to be a big death. Like, you know, one of the bigger ones of the episode. I wrote down, like, oh, Master Pycelle. Wow. And then immediately after, Margaery and Loras, High Sparrow.
Kevin, Mace Tyrell.
Just cross out everyone. Did anyone else have a problem with Qyburn not assisting in the killing?
Not what?
Right, that was kind of weird.
Qyburn just like standing back.
Hands don't assist.
He assisted by giving his little birds treats afterwards.
He doesn't, he doesn't kill them. He just brings them back to undead life afterwards.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
That's what happens. Dave, what's up?
We also have someone reminded me on the chat, Dana Busa, sorry if I'm mispronouncing that, wrote that Picel's the reason Marcella went to Dorne. So there's even more reason to kind of go. Is that true?
Well, that was when the rumor was spread. Tyrion let out. He was trying to figure out who was getting news back to Cersei. So he told people different pieces of information about who Marcella was marrying.
Right.
And because it was Pycelle who let the rumor split to Cersei,
he told Pycelle she would be going to
Dorne. He fulfilled his own prophecy, pretty much.
Right. Okay.
That's that's what they had to follow through.
Okay, well, he's definitely someone that I think Cersei was eager to bump off.
Yeah, well, she's trying to bump off everybody she hates, and he seems to be the one person who isn't going to the trial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So she has to take him out in a different sort of way. Take him out she does, but not only that, but we have another little bird that has another job.
Whoa.
To lead Lancel down in underneath the Sept.
Right. Do you think that he was meant to be led? Because I don't think he.
I think he was
actually
looking around.
I think he was just tying up a loose end by killing Lancel, like in the Sept itself, and like underneath. Because why bring him down there to begin with? Right.
Well, I would rather believe that was just kind of. Not a mistake, but like an unforeseen problem of Lancel following the kid. Because if you're really pushing me to believe that Cersei had one little kid pick out Lancel's eye while
assassin.
He was sitting with three people, like, that's a little much. I'll believe that the kid had the wits to kill him and get rid of anyone who was following him. And
I just think bringing him down to where he could just blow out the candles. Like, it's probably a bad move.
Probably
I don't think it was meant to be like, it's going to be great. I just want him to see what's happening right before he dies.
But, and let's be honest, they wanted us, the viewers, to
exactly.
see it. This is why we went down.
I agree. Yeah. I agree with you guys. I guess I was just thinking that the birds have never been noticed doing anything in the last 5-6 seasons, and all of a sudden here we are finding they're actually seeing them do something.
It the birds
to be part
are
of
under
plan.
New ownership.
They are under new ownership.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm excited about the way the birds turned out.
Cersei blows that shit up.
And a green neon blast.
Holy cow.
From Ghostbusters.
Okay, I don't know if I loved the way this appeared on screen, though.
What do you, what you have mean? A CG problem? Or just
do you mean, did you think it was Ninja Turtle slime? Because that's what I thought it was.
It looked like Ghostbusters coming out. I was just like not really feeling the overhaul of lime green on the screen. It felt...
Not your color.
Not the color of Game of Thrones. It felt out of place, honestly.
But that's what the wildfire looks like, and that's what we saw Blackwater Bay burn.
Blackwater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I know. I guess I didn't like the way it went down, and the fact that everybody that we have cared about for so long, like the way they were killed in there. I don't know.
Right.
It didn't feel right to me.
I will say, I did like the CGI. I thought it was. I mean, explosions are cool. I like explosions. But I will agree with you. Where the way it went down was almost a little unsatisfying because of how much political posturing and plotting and conspiring was done throughout the whole season. And we have everyone there. I mean, Queen Marjorie's been, like, working the system, you know. High Sparrow's been doing that. I mean, they all had to kind of go down eventually, but the fact that they all did so suddenly and that, you know, the entire story-building process that took place the entire season was just ended, just cut off.
Mm-hmm.
I was rather happy about that.
I mean, it seems
I thought there was more
meat to the story.
I was like, as I said in the beginning of this episode, I was like, everything we've learned about the High Sparrow since like episode one this season really hasn't changed that much. It was a really stagnant storyline for me. So I was like, yes!
Something!
Goodbye!
Something.
I didn't want Marjorie to die, so her dying, I don't like.
That was the weirdest. I always like, I don't mind characters dying off. I just think they need to have a death they deserve.
Exactly.
And that belongs to them. And for me, the only problem with this was Marjorie needed a better death. Mm-hmm. Or... it wasn't quite the Marjorie death I wanted. Like, it was the great High Sparrow death. I think it was a perfect High Sparrow death.
Right.
But the Marjorie was a little off.
I think I would have liked it more if we had really fleshed out and known exactly what Marjorie's plan was. Because I think we've always kind of been like, we think she's doing this.
She has a plan.
We think she has a plan and she's weighing this.
That is a very good point, because now are we left to believe that she really converted? Like, are we still going to sit here and theorize that she had some master plan?
No, because she's like, because
she passed the
gods.
Note to, yeah, she passed the note and everything, but now we don't, like, who did she leave the message? We're not going to get that
maybe
story
Lydia
now.
Maybe maybe.
Well, no, she passed that note and that was it. I mean, unless she
had other
notes.
Well, I think that was her way of saying,
I'm not
a mindless sparrow. Mm-hmm. I'm still trapped. I'm still like a prisoner
okay,
here.
Okay, so it wasn't I have a plan. It's just
I'm still
of this family.
You. Yes.
I just have to do this or else.
Yeah, it's the only power that she has. That's why she was trying to influence the High Sparrow to get out of there, not because she wanted to save the High Sparrow's life. She just wanted her grasp and most powerful ally, her grasp on power, to be there. Boom. So that's why she kind of wanted him out, but he didn't listen.
Her plan failed, and they all died.
So we need an in memoriam now. I wish we had like a decal right here. So, okay, let's go through this. We lost the High Sparrow.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh.
Well, we lost Picel right before this, but in the explosion, we lost the High Sparrow. We lost Marjorie.
Check.
We lost Kevin. We lost Uncle Kevin, Loras.
We lost all the set.
We lost Lancel. We lost Mace Tyrell.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently all the Sparrows were there.
Right.
And a whole lot of townsfolk. was there anybody else important?
A lot of people.
Were there Kingsguards? No, the Kingsguards wouldn't be there because Tommen didn't make it.
Tommen was... Well,
was there anybody of significance that I just missed on that list that you guys can think of?
Chat?
I just think that if anyone knows of anything, please chat it at me. But it feels like the Sparrows are done. They're no longer a factor
I think
in anything.
So. Mm-hmm.
They're wiped out for the most part.
Yes. I think so. You took out their power.
Every Sparrow we cared about or knew by name, unless you're unless you're including the tortured lady that's now
I was just
going to
say, let's talk about Unella.
There is one left. That's true.
So Unella has been captured, tied up, and is going to be tortured by her new god, Sir Gregor Clegane, who removes his helmet.
Yeah.
The first time.
Mm-hmm.
And then what does he do? Go whisper sweet nothings in her ear? Is that why she's screaming? I'm a little confused about what he's doing to her. I'm not sure I want to think about it.
He did kind of look like Darth Vader when he took his helmet off, though, right? Like the whole, like, kind of whitey, bluey, fleshy flesh.
I kind of wanted more, to be honest. I was like, he looks like a dead guy. That's what we kind of assumed.
Yeah. What did you want? Like a cyborg?
I wanted his mouth to be shown shut.
Yeah, like the Predator.
Shut. Yeah,
like,
and okay. I wanted him to, like, really, like, have no nose, have no face. I wanted it to be horrifying, and he was just kind of another dude.
Well, we were still kind of in the shadows, so we didn't get a full
right.
Light.
I was expecting a dwarf head.
Dwarf head.
Remember, he used a dwarf head to make Gregor.
There was talk about dwarf heads and things like that.
He just wanted to practice on the dwarf head. Mm. So maybe there's some dwarf heads kind of running around.
Well, you know, one of those
like
practices might have became his head.
King's
there.
Landing right
maybe,
now.
Maybe.
So she's gonna torture him, or he's gonna torture her for quite a while. Do you see? Are we ever gonna touch in with this again? Is she gonna get more Unella revenge, or is this the end of her story?
I think this is the end of her, and I feel like she's going to maybe be referred to as, like, his little pet or whatever, because I kind of take this as, like, he can perform sex acts or whatever he wants with her.
Yeah.
That's
yep.
the way I took it.
Yeah.
So I feel like if we hear of
gimp.
Her, it will be through words.
Boom.
This is interesting. On the chat, Fantasy Stats Guru says, and you can... I'm not sure about this myself, but says in the books they imply Sir Robert Strong, which is the name of that Franken Mountain, has a dwarf head.
He does.
They imply it, that's where his head actually comes from, because he had to get a new head.
Huh.
Yeah. So I don't know.
So it could be one.
There's a lot of talk of dwarf heads at certain points in the books.
Yeah.
So Tommen.
Well,
yes. Sorry, you want to talk about something else about Unella?
It's not huge. It's not like a big deal. But I did think it was interesting that Cersei kind of did do her confession.
Mm-hmm.
And in that line of thought, although it's just because we haven't visited in so long, she did mention killing Robert.
Mm-hmm.
Baratheon and like holding responsibility for that, along with of course sleeping with Jaime and keeping everyone safe. But I thought it was interesting that we very rarely hear Cersei ever talk about her
and the fact that she confessed to the woman who was trying to get her to confess all along, thought there was a lot of irony in that scene. And to hear her acknowledge all of her, you know, evils that she doesn't consider, you know, they might be evil or not,
she
whatever.
Feels good about
I do it because it feels good.
It feels good. It and feels she lived up to her promise that she would be the last face she saw before she dies.
Not yet.
We'll see.
Almost. She's prepped for that.
Well, you know, a fully human face. How about that? There so, Tommen. Tommen here.
Tommen over here.
Tommen can't take it.
Yeah, someone in the chat called Tommen Peter Pan in this episode.
Yeah, but he didn't have any good thoughts.
No. He had no pixie dust.
No. He lost his marbles.
I feel like we didn't get enough from him before he took this skydiving lesson.
Yeah, we didn't get anything from him except his jewelry.
He's a guy that, like, every time we see him, a lot of people hated him. And I know I didn't quite hate him. I just felt like he was not... He's like, should be owning a flower stand somewhere.
Yeah.
He should be running a kingdom.
He was kind of a non-entity.
Yeah, he was just the dude that was like, he got boobs thrown in his face, and so that made him go crazy. And so he just kept going back to the, like, girl that was giving him boobs, but he also was trying to be nice to his family.
Are you
he just
about
didn't
Tommen
know.
Or me? I'm confused.
Yeah, I mean, that's all of us, really.
You were obviously not at his birthday party.
Yeah.
So, her last child is now dead.
The prophecy section of prophecy fulfilled.
King, what's the next part in that prophecy?
Well, the next part in that prophecy, I believe, is only in the book and not in the show.
Okay, so they haven't said anything else about it in the show, so... There you go.
But now she has these little birds as her children. That's how I foresee them now, and she's like mother nest.
Yes, absolutely. They're like Qyburn's kids. She's like Aunt Cersei and everything. So then we're going to kind of...
I think she's just going to be in a pit of darkness and never come out.
Can we talk about Tommen's death for a second, though? Because I was waiting for what was going to happen. I just like the fact that we froze for a moment.
I thought he was going to go... Rah! And he did. I mean, he didn't run. I thought he was going to, you know. But
yeah, I like how he kind of could see it happen because we lingered on that open window, and you kind of felt like, you kind of felt his point of view looking out that open window.
Because I screamed, it's all your fault, Tommen.
Yeah, you did.
All right, but screamed, like, it's all your fault, Tommen. All of your decisions led to... And then he jumped. And then,
then you were like,
I felt like I shouldn't be the guy like talking him down. Tommen, you have a law to live for. Don't do it.
Well, what's funny though is, or ironic really, is the fact that he was apparently religious now. And as a Catholic, it's forbidden to kill yourself. So it was sort of like, okay, he never really made that conversion that he pretended to make in my mind.
Well, I mean, he wasn't in Catholicism, but so I don't know what the bad side of suicide is here, but I mean, he just lost everything. He lost his wife. He lost his faith. Mm-hmm. He lost
his power.
He lost everything but his mom that he knows is crazy.
And he's going to have to then deal with for killing his wife.
Yeah. And so, I mean, he knows at this point that his mom's just pulling the strings and everything. Yeah. And so,
he just made one bad decision after the other. He put his faith into his mom, into his wife, into the sparrow, and everything failed him, and he had nothing else to put his faith into except for the pavement down below.
Oh, no. Okay, this is...
Probably more cobblestones.
So we're going to be going kind of a little out of order here because there are so many scenes and things are weaving, but Jaime, he's done some other stuff. We'll get to his other stuff in this episode, but he returns at this point to King's Landing.
Yeah, to discover that his lover just forced his child out a window, essentially.
Yeah, did he really know? Because the fact that he came right in, saw Cersei sitting on the Iron Throne, he's kind of like smiling at her, like, yeah, good.
I didn't see a smile.
I did not see any
smiling. Like unflinching, cold as stone, like, what happened here? What have you
like,
done?
What is
going
on?
We are not on the same side anymore. That's how
really?
I
that's how you saw it?
That's how I saw it, too.
I saw him kind of looking like he was proud of her, almost.
You're crazy.
I saw it as sort of a, I don't want to give anything away. I'm not sure how I feel. I need to think about myself for a minute.
I took it as like,
a little bit later.
It's like, I took it as like, I did my job. What did you do while I was gone?
Yeah, I saw it as
I'm not going to question you while you're sitting on the throne.
Yeah. Like, I saw it as, like, what did you do?
Yeah.
What did you do? That's what I saw it.
But, yeah, he returns, and we now have Queen Cersei right here. She has gotten what she has wanted, right?
And, by the way, they said, long may she reign just once.
Long may she reign.
And as opposed to Jon's King of the North, like 100 times.
Right.
It's funny.
They're kind of just like, guess this is like, it.
You're here in the pit of fire as crazy. Everything burns. Like.
So the theory everybody kind of had before this episode was that Cersei was going to burn down like all of King's Landing. I'm kind of glad that didn't happen. It was just the set. Right there.
It was just a couple hundred to thousands. Yeah,
well,
people,
that's better than just the whole damn.
But
whole
can
damn city.
Can we assume that the rest of the city is lined with wildfire as well?
I mean, we know that it's all over the place. There's hidden catches of it all around the city, and most of them haven't even been found.
Yeah, that's the little bird's job.
So
there you go.
So that's yeah, she could at some she has point.
A lot of people on the chat are calling her the Mad Queen, by the way.
Ooh.
Yes. Which is very...
I mean, it's all coming full circle for Jaime, because he had to take out the Mad King, and now does he have to take out the Mad Queen?
I think so.
And
we'll take her down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's looking down. Like that at some point.
Take her down, that's for sure.
Yeah, someone earlier on the chat said that now Jaime's going to end up becoming the Queen Slayer.
Yep.
Because they think that's on the
He's going to be the Queen Slayer, the Kin Slayer, as well as the King Slayer.
No, jeez. He loves her. That's all he has.
No way, bro.
He's got already Brienne. In this episode, it's just really... Son.
She didn't.
Yes, yes she Brienne. Did.
He killed yes, himself.
You guys, did he kill himself?
Don't you remember?
Or did she kill him? Jamie. What do you guys think?
Their relationship almost fell apart when he was, like, gone and imprisoned and then came back, and she's blamed him for killing so many kids.
But look
I
at his,
think
look
this
at his
is
last,
really going
at,
to be that
at,
last nail in the coffin
last
on their relationship.
Monologue to Edmure. He literally said, none of this matters. I love Cersei, and that's it.
And
I'm
then,
doing this for her.
And then
I'm going
this
back.
Happened.
I'm
going
to be with her. And now he's in the best possible position to be with her.
Because
she's queen.
But
there's nothing else standing in his way.
But for Jaime's storyline, everything that they've been pushing for this season is how everyone views him and how tarnished like his reputation and what's come of his life and how that's just like tearing him down. He's just being compared to the worst people. And now it's going to be... he's going to have to choose to either really step aside someone who could be the next Mad Queen or do something, like, change paths.
Cersei Lannister, this queen, he is a Lannister, and he has nothing else.
Jaime's got some hard decisions
I'm
to make
excited,
in the future.
I'm excited, though, to see what Cersei does next.
What she does?
What she does next.
You know, this episode had so many strong women, like, rising to power in this one, and it seems like there's going to be a battle of queens all over the dang place.
It went from five kings, and it's going to end up being with, like, seven queens.
I kind of wanted Sansa to become the Lord of Winterfell, too, because then it would just be just powerful women just all over the place.
The whole thing. I would be mad about that, honestly. We need Jon.
We'll get to that.
Who are all the women in power real quick? We got Cersei, obviously.
Cersei, Daenerys. I mean, you had Yara's in power rising.
You
have all the Dorne.
No, you have
the
Dornish.
Olenna
you have Lady.
The last.
Arya.
You got a whole bunch.
It really is. Women rule the world. But what else is new?
So let's talk about from strong women to a really, I think, a weak, pathetic man, Lord Walder Frey. Here. He is partying it up. They got the Tullys. They took him out. Oh, what he's always wanted. He's got River Run back. Yeah, and he goes and he has a beer with Jaime here. And Jaime gives him some straight to the face news. They don't fear you, they fear the Lannisters.
I was like, we are not alike. Excuse me. Hold up.
I loved it.
We're not friends. Part.
Check yourself.
Yeah,
before you wreck yourself.
Why do we need you?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's just like, boom.
I thought that was going to linger for a while, but he got his comeuppance right away.
He did. He gave it right to him.
Oh, I like it. Oh, I like it so much. I feel like this episode and the last episode, we got some much-deserved revenge that I think... Because when you're watching this show, you have to like, oh, no, they're killing off a character I love. Oh, they're doing this. You get a lot of... It's tough, and I love having these moments that it's like a gift to fans, and it's a gift to viewers, that are just, I just wanted him to die, and he died exactly how I wanted him to die. He had like this weird Titus Andronicus moment, where he would get fed his own children.
Yes.
Oh, and then the Arya thing, it was so... It was so spot on. It was the best. It was one of my favorite moments.
I'll give it that. I'll broaden that to the episode. I really liked this episode.
Yes.
I feel like this episode in general was kind of like here.
Yes,
here's a pie.
Enjoy.
Yes, punching pie for everybody who watches tonight.
It will leave you satisfied and wanting more.
It was Zach. Mm-hmm. He's our engineer. I think tonight. You said it was a Scott Tenorman moment for those. South Park fans. He got
fed
his own kin.
I was just going to say, for me, this whole pie moment was for the book readers, because there's a moment, it happens somewhere else, but it also happens with the Freys, where they kind of get fed Frey, there are Frey pies involved, that's why I was cheering a little bit before you guys
cheered a little bit.
I was like, yes! And then it came out.
And he's killed the same way.
It's not Walder Frey. It's just, it's happening somewhere else. He's not part of this.
But, I think it might be Black Walder, but I'm not too sure that
happens. But anywho, so, yes, what were you going to say, Ryan?
Well, I was just, all right, cool, Arya's back, hey, she's back in Westeros, and she's doing her thing, she's an assassin, she's got faces.
Was this faces, or what is this?
I think she probably took a few before she left the House of Black and White.
Do you guys think so?
Yeah, I think she's got mad assassin powers now.
Does she have a bag of faces?
I hope so.
Yeah. She has a bag of faces, or she can collect faces.
Killing people?
Yeah, something like that.
Let's just go around killing them.
Question for you guys.
Bodies on the ground.
Jamie sort of recognized her, or he noticed her. Did you guys see that too?
Did we see her in the scene before?
Yes, she was the one where Bronn was
initially,
like, hey, this lady's checking you out. You didn't have to do anything, and she already likes you.
I must have been looking at her. But I took
it as the opposite. I took it as she was expressing interest in Jamie, not for those type of reasons.
Right.
Oh. And Bronn noticed that versus Jamie was interested in her.
Right.
It was really pointing out that Jamie only likes Cersei or other blonde women, and there are a variety of blonde women that could be potential suitors.
Boom. I like that little scene between Jamie and Bronn, because yes, it reinforced the fact that Jamie is just thinking about Cersei, but also that he's kind of a nice guy. Wingmanned him a little bit there. He was like, they're looking at me, you know what, hey, if you ladies heard this about this awesome guy right here, yeah, have a good one. Like, I was like, yeah, go, bro. That's like guys going to the bar, you know?
Yeah.
Jeez, come on.
Yeah. I've never had a guy hook me up with two girls at once. Let's go to the bar sometime. You know,
I feel like we haven't talked about Arya killing Frey enough.
Yes. All right, so I got to know.
Just like
she's a cold-blooded assassin. I mean, she took the time to bake a pie. How does that... You kill some guys, you chop them up, you make a pot. I mean, she really, just for the satisfaction, she's almost, like, kind of creepy
carved
at that point.
Up. Yeah, this was very premeditated.
Right? That takes a lot of effort just to do all that.
To cook a pie? Yes, it's very difficult.
To chop a person up and bake them into a meat
Holy
pie.
Cow.
Yeah, that's kind of demented. That's like Sweeney kind of stuff. Sweeney Todd.
I just felt like the slit throat was like such an homage to the Red Wedding.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Those throats being slit.
Because remember, Arya was there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she wasn't in the castle,
outside.
But she was outside.
Yeah.
Oof.
I guess it's appropriate punishment. I mean, her whole family was killed under their, under the protection of the guest's home during a feast. So I guess it was kind of appropriate that he should die under his own guest's home.
Yeah, and eating his own food.
Eating
too.
His own food, and,
eating his own food.
Eating his own food. I also liked it a lot because I just want to say, I was... Last Arya episode, which I guess was two episodes ago, I was a little worried because I feel like the way they wrapped up Arya's storyline, where there was no Fight Club moment, there was no, like, oh, it really was something deeper, it was just very straightforward. I felt like she was coming back to Westeros, like, almost the same person. And I was happy to see this moment because it showed that she's definitely changed. She's definitely become something different.
She's got some new skills.
Yeah, that might not be even the best thing. It's badass, but it's not like... It's pretty dark, like you were saying.
It's very dark.
So it was nice to see that she's changed into this. So it was good.
I love that going forward, we're not going to be able to see this coming. She's just going to be checking off the names of her list, and it's going to be some face that we don't know.
I think that's awesome because I did not see this coming.
Mm-hmm.
This
I was convinced it was Talisa's like sister.
The whole time
somebody.
I was watching this,
who
I'm like,
this?
Whose side is this girl on? Like, as soon as I realized it was the pie, I'm like, is she working for who is she? I don't know. I'm so confused. And then when they took the face off, such a good moment. Right. Yeah.
I
agree with you, Kristen. Can't see it coming. I love it.
For Arya, I don't know if the fans can help out or if everyone's keeping track. Who else is left on her list?
Cersei.
Anyone else besides Cersei?
I can't remember. Technically, the Hound.
I think she took him
off.
Yeah.
I mean, on the original list, but he...
Is that it, though?
I'm trying to remember.
If there are, let
her list was really short the last time she said it, so...
They've been dropping like flies.
Including Joffrey. Yeah, I'm trying to... This is mad.
I don't want to ramble. I'm thinking of names from the book, so I don't want to ramble.
But Cersei's definitely on the list still, so at least we know for sure that Arya is out for blood still, like the Terminator. Cersei's on her list.
See, I'm really curious if she turns her eyes on Cersei or if she goes home.
I hope she goes home, because I actually want to see Jaime kill Cersei. I really wanted Tommen to
kill
Cersei, but...
That's not gonna happen!
I believe we have a list.
We have a big name that we're forgetting is on the list, and that a lot of people are reminding me right now. Mountain. The Mountain.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Mountain is on her list.
Oh, that's a big name. That's a big one. Said.
Yeah,
he is kind of dead though.
Yeah, I was gonna say, did she get word that he died to the Red Viper?
But he's not.
No one thinks that he's dead. Everyone thinks he's just like in silence.
He's better.
Isn't Ilan Payne on her list? Because he's the guy who actually beheaded Ned Stark.
Ilan Payne, like quite a few people are saying that too. So that's also true.
Yes.
What's that?
Nothing.
Unfortunately, I believe the actor who was playing Ilan Payne died of cancer a year or two ago. No, so kidding. Unfortunately, I don't know if they'll bring back that character. And they might have purposely took him off her list because of that.
Gotcha.
I'm not entirely sure, but I believe that might be the case. So moving on from there, we head to Winterfell.
A lot going on.
So, oh my God, where do we even start?
Oh my goodness.
John is, he's hanging with Melisandre, family and feasts, and Davos comes in.
Oh, by the way, Melisandre, I think, is on Arya's list, too.
But Red Woman?
Oh, the Red Woman.
The Red Woman, yeah.
For taking Gendry?
Gendry, yeah.
For Gendry, yes, that's right.
Where the hell is Gendry?
Yeah.
Next season, episode one.
He's on a rowboat somewhere.
So Davos comes in, and he is none too happy with Melisandre here. And we sort of we get this argument between the two.
They're rowing like Gendry.
We're saying he's going to be in the middle of the water. Daenerys' ships are all going to come up. He's going to be like, help me. I've been rowing for a long time.
Help me.
Sorry, keep going.
So Davos and Melisandre are in a bit of a fight here. So
Davos is pissed off.
Yeah, absolutely, because he finally found out what happened to Shireen. He didn't know this all along.
So Davos wants to justly kill her.
And what do you guys think about Jon's judgment here? Ride south, and if you ever show your face up here again, I'll have you hanged. Because I heard you guys talking during the show. Yeah. I actually think
that it's good, because he's not letting Davos kill her, which is what Davos wants. And if she just rides south, we can bring her back if we need to bring Jon back. So the fact that she gets to survive, and I'm sure she'll come back if we really need her, and all she has to do is take off her necklace and nobody will recognize her. So she can still be there. Maybe she'll do that anyway. I hope she does.
The old lady in the camp there.
It's so much uncertainty. I didn't like this decision because of the uncertainty, okay? You have this woman who is crucial for you to come back to life if you need it, and she's been there to help shape the destiny of where you are now. So if you keep her there, you have her for that. That's the pro of that. The con is, you know, your secondhand man is kind of pissed off, so, you know, trouble in the workspace. But if you kill her, you appease him, but then you can't bring her back. I mean, I think the middle of the road option is just so much uncertainty. It's too risky. I didn't like that decision.
But normally,
I wish banishment, made one or the other.
Banishment and storytelling is normally a good thing. It normally leads to something very interesting.
For storytelling, yes.
So that I am interested in. As far as I've always said that if John had forgiven her, I could have stood behind that decision. If he had been like, I am not going to hang you for doing this, because technically she's right. She did it under not even like the Lord of Light's approval, but her king's approval at the time. Mm-hmm. You can't really hold that against, like, you can't hold people who are following a king's orders really against them, or else you end up with everyone dead, every rule.
I guess it's...
I
guess he can't really trust her.
I would think if she stuck around, then I would worry that she's kind of poisoning the well. That she might turn John into something he's not. So I was happy to see her go, but at the same time, I kind of felt for John that he couldn't just kill her, because she did bring him back to life, and you know.
I really like this decision because.
It just showed... first of all, you guys think Melisandre's like some sort of cheat code in a video game for unlimited continues or something.
Heck yeah.
Where she's just, every time John dies, she can just be like, bloop, okay, you're back, let's start the beginning of the level again.
We're hoping.
But, like, it's only yeah. if R'hllor, like, gives her the ability to. So, I mean, John could die and they'd be like, get her, and she could be like, nope, not working. Like, she's not a guarantee that he's gonna be able to live forever.
But she's a possibility, yeah. and that's all you can hope for in life. Am I right? Well,
that's true. Yeah. And I also like that this because it shows that he is not Stannis. He is not the one who is like, oh yes, I believe what you say, I'm gonna do what you say, I trust in what you're doing, you have all these powers, and because you have these weird powers, I'm gonna believe you. And he's just like, you brought me back, yeah, that's crazy, okay, but I'm not gonna have you, yes, taint the pool or the well or whatever
yeah, poison
it was he said,
well.
Poison the well. And so he gets her out of there, but he shows her mercy, because she did bring him back, and she's done some good stuff along the line.
And also, she's going south right now, and she might end up meeting up with the Brotherhood because of it.
Boom.
And the Brotherhood are all, you know, really into the Red God.
They're down.
So
okay, fine.
So
you swayed me.
So Jon and Sansa here. This is a moment I think the panel here has been waiting for a bit.
Yeah.
Sansa, why didn't you not tell Jon Snow?
I'm sorry.
He took it really well. He was just like, look, we need each other. We need to come together. It's okay, but going
I like
forward,
this. I saw this as a rising above, not the living thing. It'd be like, you made your choice. It saved the day. I don't need to know. I don't know, whatever going on. We got to trust each other. We can't let any bad stuff seep in. We can't become a CW show and let secrets ruin everything.
Yeah.
They are not secure enough to have the luxury of anger, but I can be angry for them.
Okay, I like that.
Okay.
You know, he was very pragmatic. You know, she approached him, he approached her. Now they're on the same page.
Yeah.
Hopefully they, I think they are. Mm. Yeah, okay. It's not everything we wanted. We were a little angry about Sansa's decision-making, but it, you know what? It's closure now, at least. You know, seal the wound off. It's fine. We're fine.
How
fine.
We ended with things in the North makes me feel a little bit better about it. I'm like, okay, Sansa, I'll forgive you a little bit for taking...
You get a
for staying seated.
A white raven has arrived in Winterfell.
Winter is here.
Boom. There we go. And we saw in a scene earlier with Sam that all the white ravens flying out of Old Town. Mm-hmm. So Old Town is the place. The maesters are the ones who kind of make the decisions about the seasons and go, winter's here. All right, time to send out all these white ravens.
One thing that happens in the book is there's some discussion. I know this isn't like fun TV stuff, but I wonder what the crops are like. I wonder how they like stored up for that winter, because the winters are long.
Yes, many years.
They could be many, many years. So winter is a concern because if they're fighting wars, they're not farming most of the time. So I wonder if that's going to play into next season at all. If they're going to deal with a drought, they're going to deal with a famine because they don't have any food saved
up. You're talking
up.
About Winterfell specifically. Yeah.
I think they should deal with that next season or else it's a little... Yeah.
I gotta think they have some because, I mean, I believe the Boltons were planning on
spending
some time there.
They were in the middle of a war this entire time, so they're busy fighting. They're not so much busy farming and saving up.
Were they in the middle of a war?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, they were still trying to... He just killed his dad, like, a couple of episodes ago. It kind of felt like they were too busy to actually farm.
Well, the farmers were farming and he was killing.
You guys, so. I really, really hope we're not discussing this next season. Because after listening to you guys, I was bored as fuck.
Cool.
Let's not talk about Farmville here on Game of Thrones.
Okay. They've known winter was coming. If they don't have enough food, I don't want to hear about it.
It's like the story of the grasshopper and the ant. You guys know that story?
What are you talking about?
No, it sounds fucking boring.
Okay. I'm not going to tell
the story.
Talking about
Winterfell.
That's a good point, because we saw the detriment of winter for Stannis' army, right?
We did, yes.
It forced him into making decisions. Like, we have to move. We have to move now, because winter's here and we don't have any food.
I have to burn my daughter,
So there's not only the situation with winter, you know, the Night King, you know, what's his name again?
The Night King?
The Night King.
The Night King. Him and his army's coming
but
down,
they don't
but
need
the
to
elements...
Eat.
Are going to pose a problem as well, so that's a good point.
Very possibly could, and I'm sure they'll mention it at some point. But next up is a scene that I was looking forward to. My favorite shipping right here, Littlefinger and Sansa.
We are the only ones who want this to happen.
Ew, I
think they'd be such a powerful couple. I don't know what it is here.
I've
always liked Littlefinger.
So, so she's by the heart tree here, and we kind of get this thing where Littlefinger just sort of just lets it all out here. He's like, you know what I wanted. I want you. And but he does say here that he wants to sit on the Iron Throne,
yes,
which is something
has been verbalized
that I don't ever remember him saying
right,
before.
I don't either.
Mm-hmm. We got this clear cut. I want to be on the Iron Throne, and I want you by my side. Boom. There was like no mystery involved in that.
Yeah. Before him, he said, I want everything. You know, he's let it be known. I want it all.
Yep.
But this is the first time he really let his guard down, yeah, and said, this is what I want, and I want you next to me.
Yep.
And I think he showed, for the first time, a little bit of weakness, because Littlefinger, I love his character because he plays two steps ahead of the game. He's a great, you know, chess master in the Game of Thrones, but I feel like now he's reached the point where it's like, now it's up to Sansa to really reach out and grab me halfway. And so he kind of, I feel like, showed a little weakness saying, who's going to follow your bastard brother? You know, it's you that... Mm. And then we find out people do. So now he has really no cards to play. And I've never really seen him in that situation where he's like,
I don't know.
Nothing to play.
I can easily see him turning, like, the fact that Jon became the King of the North and they didn't go under Sansa here, as him being like, all right, Sansa, you don't have to stay in Winterfell now. Like, if I can convince you to be with me, which doesn't seem likely, unfortunately, for me, but, like, we can go do something, we can go take the Iron Throne, we can go make Harrenhal our home, since I own that, or we can go up to the Vale, I own that one, too, we can go make that our home.
So many options.
He's like, I got a lot of power, I got a lot of money, we can do a lot of things, and you're not stuck here.
I hope that we do see that, though, because at this point, none of you guys want them together because he hasn't sort of romanced her at all for the fact that she would like him. There's no reason for her to like him. We've only seen him power hungry and this being a power move to be with her. So there's not been any sort of romancing at all going on.
Yeah.
And that's what was missing this season is what we agreed
on.
Right.
This season, but it's so easy to forget that, I mean, how much he helped her in the past. I mean, he's helped her escape. He's helped her survive. I mean, he's given her
just
home
marry
and refuge.
Tyrion for love, and then, you know, that will just come to a whole new level.
Here's the thing. Littlefinger does not see Sansa. He sees Little Catelyn. Like, he wants to marry Little Catelyn because he's living in his past. He's like a guy buying a Porsche because he's having, like, a you know, mid-age crisis.
Gross.
So
but he's
it's
open
gross.
About it.
And
he's honest
gross.
About it.
He's gross.
Yeah,
why do we want
gross.
This, Kyle? Why do
it's
we want this?
I don't know.
Because I don't see the... I mean, yeah, she doesn't love him.
He's also
okay?
a bad person.
But how many marriages in Westeros happened because of love? Not very many.
I don't care. He's also a bad person. We could just kill him. It's fine.
Bad person to Sansa?
To everyone. Like, at his core, a bad person.
I don't think so.
To Sansa?
I really like him.
Yes.
What has she ever... Okay. She sent him to Ramsay. Okay. That's terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big one.
That's a big one. I just thought of that while I was talking out loud.
Mm-hmm.
That's horrible. That is horrible. Yeah, okay.
That's
I don't know.
Not just
dwell on
that one for a while. Forgettable, okay?
Here's another point that we didn't really, the episode didn't really address, is that Littlefinger brought his army in to save the day. The Knights of the Vale saved the day. What do they get out of it besides a strong alliance?
But it's not technically... It's not technically his army.
They saved everybody. They are the reason why Sansa's in Winterfell and not dead.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. The crazy thing to me about everyone following the Starks is that there are two. Like, the Starks don't have any people. They don't have any knights. They're like, we follow the Starks, all two of you.
All both
of you. Like, when they all go, hey, we're going to head back to our castles, it's going to be Jon and Sansa. Walking around in Winterfell, there's nobody there that is a Stark, like, and they're following him. That's how like powerful the Northern belief in the name is.
What the next season actually is just matchmaking. Because what this episode did was just line up all of your eligible bachelorettes and bachelors, and then we get to just like play
who can marry who.
So wait, it's the dating Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm very sorry. Can we talk about? I just want to make sure we talk about how badass Lady Mormont was.
Oh yes, we are getting. Let's do that scene. We are in that scene now.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure throw that in because she was so badass. It was great to see this like little girl just cut down all these guys. It was that was my favorite part. one of my favorite parts of this episode.
It was pretty.
I keep
badass.
Saying that about every single scene.
Yeah, everybody, yeah. Manderly and Glover, they were like, "Oh, I don't know, why should we do?" And yeah, and she stood up and she told him, she gave him a piece of her mind, and it was awesome.
That's the great thing about kids, though, because they don't lie. They don't talk bullshit. They see the truth, and they speak it, and it's harsh. A lot of times parents are, right. You know, apologizing for their kids, and even that guy said it was harsh, but you know what? This is what they needed to hear, and I'm proud of her. I loved it.
I think the big reason why I like her so much is because she speaks the truth. Mm-hmm. And if you put the same dialogue in another actor or another character
right.
that was older or different, I mean, the things that she's saying and the way that she's saying them are just badass. And the fact mm-hmm. that she's a little girl makes it even more like, what? Like,
it,
whoa.
It also helps.
Drop the mic.
Because she has the... There's nothing people can hold over her head yet.
Right.
There's nothing that
I mean, technically. Come on.
Obvious joke there.
No, but if anyone else says it, but you can point to, like, well, you did this, and you have failed in this way.
That's a great point.
But when someone who is innocent and has not forsaken any of their oaths or their vows and has always kind of, maybe that is because she's so young.
Mm-hmm. And stuck with that vow for, what, 62 men or whatever it
so
was?
She has credibility and honor, and you have to listen
so you
to her.
Can't,
badass.
You can't.
My king this day till his last.
I like the nickname the White Wolf.
Yes.
We have the Young Wolf, which was Rob,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and now we have the White Wolf. The thing about this scene, though, is the whole King in the North scene, the kings were done. The War of Five Kings was all these kings trying to claim their parts. Right, in their little segments of the Seven Kingdoms. And then when it ended, it just became Tommen or Joffrey, whoever at that point, was the king. Bada bing, bada boom. Mm-hmm. The Boltons were the wardens of the North. But here's the North once again saying that, well, we don't want to be wardens of the North. We want the king in the North.
Right.
So it's almost them declaring war once again against the throne.
Right, and a lot of people on the chat are bringing up Bran. And when Bran shows up, to Winterfell, is that going to change the whole dynamic? Because he's a true Stark.
True Stark.
And not a bastard, and he should actually be Lord of Winterfell. Also, we have a lot of people shipping Bran and Lady Mormont right now. Which is kind of like they could end up getting married, and that would be kind of cute.
Aww, I do love that.
Bran and Mira. I want
Mira. I don't know.
No, you have horrible taste in relationships, Kyle.
I have a wonderful, magical taste.
Most time I agree with you, but I have not sensed any chemistry between them.
Well, first of all, I don't know if Bran can father any children. That's one point. And the second is, I don't know who theorized it, but the old three-eyed raven, isn't that Bran in the future? I mean, isn't he the guy that's going to... The old
no,
guy is going to end up in the tree?
Don't believe that.
You don't think that?
No,
don't believe it.
Not a confirmed theory.
I still think he's the old three-eyed raven.
You just want to, but it's not
We never see him walk. He's always stuck in a tree. I mean, it's a good theory.
Let's keep on talking about Bran here.
What's Bran?
And theories that are now actually confirmed.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, the big reveal.
Well, first, let's say goodbye to Benjen. Benjen took
Hi,
off.
Benjen.
Uncle Ben. With great power comes great response. Oh, that's a wrong Ben. I'm sorry, Uncle Ben.
Uncle Ben.
So technically, wait, is Benjen... He's technically dead?
Yeah.
He's
like a good White Walker. Kind of. Or a good weight, I guess.
Yeah, white.
Yeah,
and
white.
Yeah, he gives us that bit of information. He's like, there's magic in there. I can't go through there.
And as long as it stands... He cannot go through there or something. Whoa. There was a word in there about
down.
it. As long as it's... Oh.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean forever. That doesn't...
That doesn't mean forever.
He says
he's going to keep on fighting for the living. And he pieces out. Later, Benjen. Nice knowing you. I don't even think they called him Cold Hands once. Angry book reader. Okay, so we get a flashback here. Oh, this is big. This is big, everybody. R plus L equals J.
Yep.
Yeah.
They don't actually say his name, though. We do get the infamous cutaway from the baby's face to John's face here.
Yeah.
They never say his name.
But
there's still a possibility. No.
They said his face.
they said his face.
What I want to know is, who is that handmaiden there who's going to go spill the beans about this secret to everybody in the Seven Kingdoms?
Yeah.
Is Ned going to have to kill that girl?
You know. She's just been hanging out.
Yeah, she's been hanging out.
She's going to become a new character.
I know these secrets, but you know, whatever. I'll keep quiet. Don't worry about me.
I honestly believed this theory so long that I was just like, finally, we can stop saying this is a theory and we can just call it truth. Because I hate talking about this, and I'm like, well, most people think for this and this and this and this and this and this and this reason. Right. Like, I'm just so glad that that period can be over just and boom. Done with, and we'd be like, yes,
confirmed.
This is who this is.
So they gave us just enough too. I like it that they didn't come out and be like, come in, Ned. I actually slept with Rhaegar, and this is my bastard baby. Can you take care of him? No, they show little whispers. They know that the fans who are true fans after six seasons know what's going on.
Promise me, Ned.
And so now, what is the relationship between Jon Snow and Daenerys Targaryen?
Well, before we get into that relationship, for the very small percent of readers who don't know what R plus L equal J is, is that Rhaegar Targaryen and Lyanna Stark had a baby who was Jon Snow.
Yeah.
And that's in this episode. Mm-hmm. And Jon had to pretend to the world that this was his bastard child.
Ned. You said Jon.
I'm sorry. Jon had, excuse me,
Ned.
My apologies. Ned had to pretend that Jon was his bastard son that he had during the war or whatnot, because if Robert hated Targaryen so much that if he found out there was another one alive, he would have him murdered. And so in essence, Ned's best friend Robert would have Ned's nephew murdered.
Yes.
And so Ned was like, all right, so all this time he's been pretending that this child is his bastard son, even to the detriment of his relationship with his wife.
Yeah, you wouldn't even tell his
and
wife.
And that makes Jon Snow Daenerys' nephew.
Yes.
Right.
Because Rhaegar and Daenerys are siblings, and so if Jon is Rhaegar's son,
we also
then
have
Daenerys
people,
is his aunt.
We also have people on the chat mentioning that Jon is himself the Song of Ice and Fire.
Boom.
Because he's both ice and fire.
Yes,
because
the Targaryens are fire and the Starks are ice.
Yep.
Sounds like a...
Which was the name of their greatsword that got burned down. And now Brienne's carrying half of it around. But, so we got that whole crazy thing. It is confirmed right there. R plus L equals J.
Woo, woo!
Woo! Let's all go home. I'm out. I'm done.
Yes.
So, all right, well, this is a big moment, right? I mean, this is a theory that has been kind of permeating every season.
Yes, this has been the theory.
Thank
it's
good.
Finally confirmed.
It's
so what is
done.
The, what does this mean now? I mean, now that it's like, okay, that's
it means
that means...
he can have a dragon.
That no. means he is the heir to the throne.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So well, he's heir to the Iron Throne.
I mean, if you're talking about Targaryen lineage, if Targaryens came over, they conquered Westeros, and then the Targaryens are the rightful rulers of the throne. Okay, Robert kicked the Mad King, or he was dead and everything. But Jon comes before Daenerys in the line of succession.
Okay.
Oh.
And Daenerys is coming over for the Iron Throne.
Yes, but Jon is a highborn child.
Right.
He was the Starks and the Targaryens, very well known houses. It wasn't just some wench in a whorehouse. Excuse me.
Right.
So yes, but he is not a proper. They weren't married or anything like that, because he was married to a Dornish woman at the time.
Here's what I want to know: the only person who really knows this secret is Bran now.
And that handmaiden in the room.
Okay.
Well,
right.
Maybe she doesn't know the whole secret, but...
I don't know about the handmaiden.
They were whispering.
Yeah, they were whispering.
How is this information going to... Because we know, as the viewer, we know this now. But nobody else in this world knows, except for Bran. How is this information going to come out into the world, and how will it affect, you know, the coming events? Because it's got to have a huge
impact. Do you remember
impact.
The flashback before the battle outside? The battle outside of this Tower of Joy?
Where he killed the swordsman.
There was one man... One of Ned's friends who survived the fight,
right.
Whose name is Howland Reed,
okay.
Who is Mara Reed and Jojen Reed's father, who is chilling, as far as we know, in his castle, which is in the bog, in the neck, just sort of, it's like a floating castle,
right.
That we have never seen in the present day, and nobody really ever talks about him or anything. His kids have mentioned him a couple
see,
times.
See, I more envision just Bran going around and, like, putting his hand on people's foreheads and, like, shooting the vision into
right.
them and being like, proof!
Know the truth!
Yeah.
I think it's also exactly. a pretty good pitch to Daenerys for why they should be getting married.
Right.
Because Targaryens marry Targaryens. That's just kind of what they do. So if they show up and she's looking for someone to marry, Jon's in charge of the North right now, will add a lot to Daenerys' army. Plus, he's a Targaryen.
This is creeping me out.
You guys, why is this?
You guys are creeped out with Littlefinger and Sansa getting together, but you're okay with an aunt and a nephew hooking up.
Yes.
Targaryens are known for sibling to sibling marriages and everything, but I don't know if there are.
Why is that better for you? Why is that a better? It's like if they were brother and sister, it would be fine.
Well, that's what they've been doing for hundreds of years,
right.
And we are used to it with Jaime and Cersei. There you go.
This is they're age appropriate, kind of. They're both good people,
most attractive.
Age appropriate. Okay, aunt and nephew. It's so creepy.
Yeah, but age appropriate aunt and nephew. And also, I think we could tell
good people the center of central part.
What would it be
and I think we could tell from Jon Snow's hair that Stark blood is pretty powerful. So it kind of it's not as, it kind of dumbs down the Targaryen blood
Targaryens
a bit.
Targaryens have a lot of recessive genes. That's some decred. Yeah, the whole Gendry thing.
Love it or hate it, what's their ship name? I was thinking,
I don't even want to think about
Jaenerys.
Little Sansa.
Jaenerys?
That's my ship name right there.
I feel like we have to use Snow.
Daenerys Snow?
Can we just call them Fire and Ice?
Viewers, come up with some shipping names for that one.
No, but honestly, you guys, all the women of this show, we love Jon Snow. All the men love Daenerys. So why don't we want them to get married and be together? I would love
this. I really think you should start sitting on this half of the table.
I'm coming.
Like, leave his strange relationship madness.
Camera yet? You are.
Could join the couch, I think. I'm fine over here.
The right thing now. Come at me, bro. So, oh my gosh. So this is a huge thing. This is crazy big. Yeah, but I don't know. If we don't get Holland Reed, I don't know how that word is going to get out there. I guess Bran could tell people, but I'm sorry.
Vision.
Give him visions.
You
visions.
Know what? I think the Handmaiden might actually come back up. Because I think the Handmaiden could end up talking to Varys, could talk to like the other people, so they could end up finding out about this another way. So it's not that crazy of a theory that she might come back.
We'll figure it out.
Speaking of Varys, maybe?
Well, we're going to Sam right now.
Okay.
We will get to Varys. He is all over the damn place, that crazy man,
right?
That merman. Sam and Gilly arrive at Old Town. As a book reader, I'm so damn happy to finally see this place.
Right.
That is the Citadel.
The Citadel.
The Citadel.
The Citadel.
The Citadel. In the city of Old Town.
Yeah.
Right there.
Reminded me of the Library of Alexandria.
Boom. There we go.
That's what I saw when I saw, you know, the tower and the world's collection of knowledge.
It was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
We have the white ravens pouring out, one for every castle in Westeros. Here.
But the people there are rude.
This guy, right?
Well, they're basically the internet of the day, right? So they're just, they just talk to the internet,
hilarious.
And the internet responded to them.
Hey, give me a high five for that.
There you go.
Okay.
It's right here.
I do like this little thing he does. Like, they never got information that G.R. Mormont is dead and that Aemon Targaryen is dead. They didn't get that raven because Sam never sent it, which is a huge oversight. I feel like he had plenty of time to send that thing out.
You know what? This whole season I've been thinking how bad the communication has been. Like, no one really knows what's happening anywhere. You know, before, in the first few seasons, I mean, if someone, you know...
There's always ravens.
If someone, like, tripped on a rock, you know, you'd know about it. but this season, I feel like no one knows anything. No one knows.
Nobody knows.
The
communications have broke down. Shit's hitting the fan.
Castle Black
Winter
went through all this.
Here.
there was an army of dead attacking, and no one in the whole world knows about it.
Right. Weren't there some...
Nobody believes it.
Yeah,
nobody believes it. There's been word going around, but everybody's like, eh.
Yeah, because we got a raven of that in, like, King's Landing, I'm pretty sure, when the wall was asking for more men or something.
Service is just bad.
So they invite Sam into the library, and you guys were very excited to see that the chandeliers in the library look exactly like that giant thing at the opening credits.
Like the sun in the opening credits.
Yeah.
It has... That's how they spread light throughout the library, which I liked because it implies that the whole show is one tale in this library. That's what I saw.
It's like song, it's like, ice and
fire. Yeah, it's like it's part of it's an epic tome that's in with the library, and that's why it has
like
the same chandelier.
I like that. That was a good idea too.
That is
when
beautiful,
they
swooped
in like that.
I'm just afraid Sam is going to get so into all those books that he's going to forget Gilly is in the waiting room.
Right.
What I loved is that the books are chained. I'm like, wow. I would have really liked to read when I was younger if the desire was like chained away from me. Right. The fact that you you can't take the books out of the library. I think that would have made me read more. See, like, want the books more, right?
Women. There was one they can't have.
I was gonna say, when there are chains involved, I'm interested, too.
And men. We always...
want chains.
No comment on that one.
So yeah, let's go. Anything else about these two? Anybody other observations? Or shall we move on to Dorne here?
All right. Sam's going to read, and Gilly's going
to
wait.
Is Sam going to read? That has yet to be. We are going to meet a brand new character, it sounds like.
Oh,
he's going to be introduced.
Oh, the Archmaester.
Who I'm interested.
It'll be the High Sparrow's twin brother. So we move down to Dorne.
Mm.
Olyanna is there.
I'm so happy.
The Queen of Thorns.
That she did not die.
Is having a little powwow here with the ladies of Dorne.
She learned that everyone died real quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was wearing black.
Yeah.
She was in mourning.
And Varys made it there lickety split.
Yeah. So Queen of Thorns shuts them all down, has a little conversation, and Varys comes out here with... They're all going to go after Daenerys. I mean, go with Daenerys here. That seems to be their plan, because they hate Cersei, and this seems to be their only option now.
I love the scene because, first of all, Queen of Thorns just shuts down the Sand Snakes, which is kind of something we've all wanted to do at some point during the season. Shh, 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 shh. And she has a clear goal, which is vengeance.
Vengeance.
Right. Straight, cold-blooded vengeance. Which is something that you can always rely on as a solid storyline in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, because the Tyrells are decimated.
Yeah, they're
the
done.
The Lord of Highgarden is gone.
Mm-hmm.
The heir to Highgarden is gone. The queen, Marjorie, is gone. It's just this old lady. I don't know if there's any Tyrells left besides her. And she's far too old to be having any more children.
I can't think of one for the life of me.
Right.
Yeah, I was just trying to think, because now when they are grouped, does she have the most houses behind her? Or parts thereof?
By the end of this, do you mean?
By now.
The most western
by
houses?
By now.
Well, I mean, the throne still has all the south, I mean, most of the south and everything.
I don't think anyone except for the Tyrells, and now
she has the Sands, the Tyrells,
the Sands and the Tyrells,
half the Greyjoys, and a third of the Lannisters.
Yeah, and the Tyrells are
Tyrion is a Lannister.
The crown was basically borrowing from the Tyrells, like, a ton. So with the Tyrells comes
crops
the
and
huge...
money, Kristen. Crops and
money. Yeah, it's part of the game.
It's all part of the game.
Yeah,
So Varys comes out and he says the word, the Targaryen words, fire and blood, which is pretty awesome. So they're going to go to Daenerys. We'll get going with that. He is getting all over the place.
Yeah, if you really do stack it up. Most of the alliances are on Danny's side.
Yeah, the houses we know, but there are so many. I mean, like, Sam's family is still with the crown and everything.
These are primary houses.
They also don't have, like, except for the Tyrells, they don't have an actual house in Westeros itself. They're all, you know, Greyjoys are over in their island, and the Sand Snakes are from Dorne, so they kind of need... They need to figure out how they're going to actually, you know, what ground they're actually going to walk on.
What's going to happen when Euron Greyjoy eventually runs into,
that giant fleet?
The fleet, because that's the rest of the Greyjoys right there, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the dragons are just going to go, and then they're going to wait till the fire subsides and, you know,
drift
over their corpses.
Danny's an unstoppable force.
Crazy. So, let's talk about Daenerys. Let's go to Meereen. It's the last place we have to visit on this finale right here. She gives Dario some hard love here.
Correct.
Dario is going to stay behind to oversee Meereen and the new Bay of Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I like it.
This was hard to watch, though. You know? They did love each other, and she's giving that up to be a ruler. I'm glad that she did, but I was sad for him. I mean, can't we leave someone else?
As much as I like Dario, I really haven't been feeling the love for Dario for quite some time.
Well, they haven't actually been together all season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this didn't affect me at all. Like, I felt bad for him, but I was like, yeah, that's a good move, because no one cares.
Well, you share that with Daenerys, same temperament. Because, like, you say they loved each other, but what it seemed like is that he loved her, and she was like...
She's moved on.
You were my booty call, man.
Oh, come on. I don't think
I think she loved him at one point.
Exactly, at one point.
A lover
is... died, obviously.
He was a lover.
Died.
Which is, I think, a little different than what she wants, needs as a conqueror, as the Targaryen that she is.
Okay.
As much as the passion, as good as the sex might have been, she knew it was never really going to go anywhere but that from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And his character wanted more, but knew it was never going to go that way either. He just kind of wanted to be around. And for having... Okay. You can't take extra baggage across the
okay!
The
okay! We dumped him! I'm over it!
No one cares! Who cares about this relationship?
I just have a hard time moving on, okay?
Moving on.
Moving on. So, we'll do it for you. Moving on.
Moving on.
That's the way it happens.
Daenerys and Tyrion. Speaking about consoling poor Kristen over here, Tyrion attempts to console Daenerys and doesn't do such a good job at it, but she names him Hand of the Queen.
That was a great scene. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
He was like teary-eyed, and it was, I loved it.
Tyrion-eyed?
That was scene was so much more moving than the breakup scene.
That's a good point.
It was so much more moving. I was more emotionally invested.
Yeah. Well, it's this character we've seen just been shit on for so many seasons now.
Yeah.
And to just see this woman who has such power and it seems like everything's coming together for him, to look at him and be like, I want your assistance. I want your help.
You're
such a capable, intelligent person.
Right.
And I want you by my side.
Someone who finally sees him, though, in the light that he's desired to be seen in.
Respected. Needed.
I feel like there is, like, a deep love between them and respect. I mean, not, like, romantic love, but, like, a love that they are united.
He finally found his purpose. I mean, when he was Hand of the King in King's Landing, he did a good job. I mean, he saved the city. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't, you know, doing it for a person he believed in. And now he is, and now he's going to be unstoppable. Speaking of her loves, we didn't see where Jorah was off to at the end of the season, but...
Oh, we did not.
Do you think he's going to come back at all into play? I mean,
well,
he's
got to figure out how to cure his...
Well, he's got to find Melisandre while she's going south and figure out how Stannis did his thing with Shireen.
Boom, I like it.
I don't know. and then we get a short shot of the Greyjoys. And I was like, oh my god, another place? Oh my god, we're touching it with everybody this episode. But the camera pans out, and we have the giant fleet of Greyjoy ships. We have the Targaryen ships. You guys said you saw green banners, which we have to assume is the Tyrells, because Varys is already back there on the bow of the ship with Daenerys and Tyrion, so they have made the journey back to Meereen.
Yeah.
There's got to be the Tyrells. I didn't see any Dornish flags, but...
I didn't really like how... I mean, I loved this episode, but I didn't like how they kind of omitted that whole sequence where Varys went from one side of the world to the other, and maybe brought back a bunch of ships. Like,
they didn't
touch on it at all. And all it really took was like maybe a sentence, like, oh, Varys, you got a bunch of ships. That's great. All right, let's go. We're shipping off.
I don't know.
When I saw him, I was like, whoa. Yeah. Remember we saw him? We're like, did he just teleport?
Travel time means absolutely nothing in this show. I mean, Varys is able to jump out. Arya is able to get over here very quickly. Like,
Littlefinger
is all over the place. They just have to do it because things are so far and
do you know how
to match
it
all up. I mean, when George is writing the books, there was something called the Meereenese Knot, where all these characters we've seen, like, all these characters are arriving in Meereen, and he couldn't figure out the timing because he wants to make it so legit time-wise, and he couldn't figure out how to get everybody there at the same time because this person would take 2 months to go here, and the show is just like, we're not going to deal with that. We're not going to make you wait 2 years while we figure out how to get this story correctly. We're just going to have people, they travel a little fast. Whatever, get over it.
Right. I also think they showed that by just showing this, like, new ships with dragon heads on it, so they were obviously made just for her.
Mm-hmm.
So that implied that time passed enough to build those ships. You saw ships with the sails that had the Tyrells, right? That's their name?
The Rose, yes.
Yeah, the Rose is like, you saw them amongst the fleet, so that meant there was enough time for them to come over. So mm-hmm. it was enough to show that time has passed, and Varys there is also showing that time has passed. But it did confuse a lot of people. Everyone was like, does he have a twin? What's happening? Like, a lot of people on the chat were calling that out, too. So
maybe he does have people a twin. Maybe it's Arya.
So, you know, you're right.
Maybe it's Jacken.
It's a good... Yeah. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So time has passed enough during the last episode to where we don't have to imagine a lot of time passed in between seasons, so when we start off next season, we can just jump right in.
I feel like this was like a victory sail, though, because we've been there through Dany's whole journey, and like they said, like Tyrion said, you have your army, you have your ships now, you have your dragons, and like we were there, that was kind of like a summary for us, because we were there through all of that.
I felt
victorious sailing to Westeros.
Nice. I would laugh so hard if the opening scene of next season is they run into Euron's fleet and they get so badly crippled they have to turn around and go back to the
Not funny.
No.
Do you guys want to talk about predictions here? Are we at that point?
The walls is coming.
Predictions. Let's talk about what we're going to see next season. That's
your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right. So is she just going to charge over there and start just taking over?
The wall's coming down and dating Game of Thrones.
All right, let me ask this for you guys. How is the wall
whole
coming
season.
Down?
You know what?
What do you
I
think?
Don't know, but it is.
Are there any ideas? Do we have any?
I have some ideas.
Dave, what's up, man?
I think we might get some ice spiders taking down the
as
wall.
As big as hounds.
Ice spiders. Yeah, I think we might. They've hinted at ice spiders. I think it would also be nice to see some undead giants that might be able to bring down the wall. We might just
like Hodor?
See... Yeah, well, Hodor maybe amongst them, but I think real giants. I think like big giants, because we don't know where the rest. Most of the giants are dead, so they might have joined this. And also mammoths. There's mammoths in the books. So all these things could be undead and going against the wall.
So you think they're just going to ram into the wall, just knock it down with physical force?
I think so, and I think we're going to go up to the Night's Watch and see them being a little helpless, because they're very small right now.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a lot of people going there, and people have kind of forgotten about the Night's Watch.
Mm-hmm. So. Does the wall have to come down in order for them to get across? I mean, we've seen the tunnels. I see that more logically
because of
happening
the magic.
Than
or
the...
Going around.
No, because of the magic.
We saw Bran's mark.
They can't go through.
Yes, but Bran, with his mark, made it so that the magic surrounding the tree was worthless, and that they could go in. So is the same thing going to happen to the wall? Is Bran going to go through the wall and not realize that his mark is like a key for the Night King?
Yeah, just him going through the wall kind of ruin the magic. That's true. That could really...
Or can Bran not go through the wall now?
I mean, I think he can. He didn't have any problems leaving the tree area. So,
you guys, I know...
I don't know.
I know them coming and the fact that winter has come and that we're getting these whites and the knights and all of this. I know that this is so important because it's going to, like, unite different houses, but I don't quite care about it yet. I know they want us to not to, like, forget about it and like, the people of the land not believe it, but I guess I just haven't been given a reason to care too much. I'm kind of dreading that. I know it's going to be epic and a lot's going to happen, but I guess I haven't seen enough of it to really intrigue me.
Do you think that's because no matter what, you are really with one side to win? Versus when we see all the houses and they're fighting, you can get kind of swayed. But as soon as we do start this battle, whoever they're fighting, like, unless somehow Cersei comes out top and on top and kills everyone, then I might be like, okay, whites take over, I don't care anymore. Right.
But that's the thing, is that Cersei is on one side. You got Cersei and King's Landing, right? So the Lannisters.
Mm-hmm,
and then on the other side, I guess you could say the perimeter, you have the North. Then down south, you have Dorne. You have the Sands and the Tyrells, what's left of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you have Daenerys and all her alliances coming across. So it's basically Cersei versus the world.
Yeah, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that what would make me actually vote for the White Walkers to win at any point would only be if they were facing Cersei.
Right, they're just the cancer. Yeah. I think they're just like a cancer that attacks and spreads. I think if anything, they're kind of a metaphor for just power and corruption and the need to just take over. And that's why I kind of like them there, but they are mindless.
Do you think we'll ever cure them?
That would be interesting.
Yeah, I would like to see that, because I don't want them to just be this mindless sort. I feel like any good film or TV show, we have to know the enemy, we have to care about the enemy, in a way and know what their motives are. So I feel like we're going to get more of the Night King's story, and maybe there will be a way to cure them, because that's way more interesting to me than them just being this mindless, powerful source that kills. I don't like that.
I am completely opposite you. I am a huge fan of The Walking Dead, and yes, you have characters that are human and they have stories and whatnot, but the main evil, like the zombies, they're just a mindless evil force. And in the books here, we don't have this Night King who is ruling the others. They're just the others and bad zombie ice things, and they're just coming. And I really enjoy that. It's like the Sentinels in X-Men. It's like you can't reason with them. They're just coming. There's no, like, boss dude that you talk to, but there is in the show with the Night King. So
right.
So we might figure out more about him and
it would be great if we had this one scene where the Night King just talks. And he has a discussion that would like kind of blow my mind.
That would blow, yeah.
Because right now he does seem mindless to me, but maybe he's not. Yeah. Maybe that's a twist.
Very true.
I happen to agree with both of you. The great thing about this show, one of the big reasons why I love this show so much is because there isn't a true antagonist. Whenever you think that you know who the bad guy is, then you see their side of the story, and you can empathize with them. And even though there might be some people on this side of the table or that side of the table who want certain characters to win or lose, we both can empathize and understand where they're coming from. You're right. The dead are dead, and they're the walking dead, and they are kind of the clear antagonist on that side of the fence. But I feel like this upcoming season, we have Cersei and the rest of the world, and it's going to clash.
Very cool.
I just wanted to say one thing. That someone says too much backstory also enters into midichlorian territory, so keep that in mind. Okay, keep going.
Dave, give me final thoughts, man. What are you thinking? How are you feeling right now?
I'm loving the season. I was dreading it at first when they were going to go past the books, but I think it helped them. I think it makes it so they can speed up things. They're having fun doing it, and I'm loving the story right now.
Very
so
cool.
That's
Ryan,
my thought.
Ryan, how you feeling, man?
Oh, man, I love this show. I love this show so much. It's definitely grown into a worldwide phenomenon. We had, 23 million viewers last episode? I mean, a lot of the world is enjoying this, and there's a lot of reasons why. I hope it's not going to be more than a year before the next season comes out.
It is.
Remember, this season was delayed like a month. But Sarah, what? How are you feeling?
Well, on that horrible note about the dread of the next waiting period.
Yeah.
Love this episode. Excited to watch this episode a few more times. it was a really good finale. I think that it is probably one of my favorite season finales that they've had in all of Game of Thrones so far.
I'm going to just jump to next season. Obviously, everyone's loved this season. I'm done with this season now. We have to be moving on to next season. I think that, you know, Cersei is going to be the big death of next season. She has to be in order for the throne, the progression to begin. And I can't wait for Dany to marry Snow. And hey, guys, like, make this year great.
Some people are worth melting for.
I also... I also really love this season. As a book reader, I was very afraid because this was charting into new territory. But you know what? I had a great time. They're sort of kind of cutting the fat. They're doing their own thing. I know when I pick up the books, it's going to be vastly different. And then I'll be able to... I'll have enjoyed the show. I'll be able to enjoy the books. I can get over that. I'm having a great time. The one thing that just made me mad when you were talking about... You're talking about Dorne and its weakened forces. Dorne never joined this fight. You mentioned it offhand. You mentioned it very quickly, so I didn't think it was too much thought, but it made me think that Dorne is still... What? Oh, they're crapping all over Dorne here. House Manwoody, right here. Dorne never joined this fight. They should be at full strength. Just like the Vale showed up. Dorne should have tried something before they're like, yeah, you know what? We're so weak, we gotta go in with this Dragon Queen. They're the only ones who didn't succumb to Aegon the Conqueror when he showed up. He's the only one
Yeah. They're the only ones he didn't conquer. They're fucking powerful and prideful, and they should have come out and should have kicked some ass before they're like, yeah, right, yeah, we'll give up. We'll go with Daenerys. She's the next great, ooh, cool thing. Yeah, let's go to her. All right. Awesome. Sorry. Okay.
So, that's how you're going to end this? That's how you're going to end this?
This is a great season. I love this season. This season was awesome. It was very cool. Thank you guys so much for watching. We're going to be back next season. Hopefully, it's not too far away. Thank you guys so much for watching this whole season. We'll see you again. My name's Kyle Matic. You can find me on Twitter at Kyle Matic. Boom!
Hey guys, I'm Kristen Snyder. You can follow me at Cinematic Escape.
And I'm Sarah Stratton. You can find me at Sarah_Stratton.
I'm Ryan Malady. You can find me at Ryan Malady. Vela Doharis.
I'm Dave Child. You can find me at MR Dave Child. I just want to thank everyone for joining me on chat. We had over 2,100 people live chatting with us.
Aww,
and that's amazing. You guys have been amazing. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Very cool. And we'll see you next season.
Have a great year.
Bum, bum, bada.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The King of the North!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.